Thank you. Well, if you would like to get out at noon, you probably should just leave right now. It's not going to happen. I sat there while we were praying. I was praying. I don't know if I've ever felt like I felt. It was like whirlwinds of grace. And I could feel the prayers of others. It was like I was almost in the midst of God answering prayers. It was a wonderful, I never felt that way in my whole life. I've been saved for 55 years. It just was a wonderful, wonderful thing. I thought about too when Sam was singing, you know, this is a generational thing. I remember his daddy. I believe I met him. He was a kid down here in Sand Mountain. Just a kid. And I was preaching there for Brother Fred Vaught, used to preach there every year. And then next time I ran into him, he was up in Oklahoma. I remember he drove me up to preach for Brother Sam Davison up in whatever city that was in Oklahoma. And he drove me up there one morning to preach and spent the afternoon and drove back home to wherever I was preaching the rest of the time in Oklahoma. And I remember being in their home. I used to preach for his dad in Southern Indiana when he had a church and stayed in the church. It was one of the spookiest churches I've ever stayed in my whole life. You know, when the organ starts playing at 4 o'clock in the morning, the Phantom of the Opera, I get scared to death. And I remember preaching there for him. And the kids were, Sam was, he was about the size of one of his legs back then. Just a little old kid. And you have three or four brothers, didn't you? And be with them. And I thank God for a salvation that reaches way down. I don't know the particulars. I don't remember his daddy, how he got in that home down there. I don't remember all that. But God can reach down in your home and save you and save your children and save your grandchildren. It's a wonderful thing that God has provided for us sinners. Yes. That gracious redemption that he purchased with his son's blood on Calvary. Yes. I'm grateful this morning for that. And I pray if you're not a Christian here today, if you've never been truly born again, that today would be the day that you would come to Christ. I want you to look at one verse in your book in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And there's a wonderful verse. They're all good, but there's just a wonderful verse that got my attention some weeks ago. For Christ, chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, putting to death in the flesh, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now I want to talk to you for a few minutes on what brought us to God. Now a plane brought me to this part of the country yesterday, flew into Chattanooga. I rode in a Jeep over here today, about one of the bumpiest rides you could ever have. You call that a comfortable vehicle, you're out of your mind. That's a truck for young people. But that car brought me to church. I want to say this too, just interject this. You're sitting here this morning and you're not saved. One of the things that goes through lost people's minds is this: I have plenty of time. That's the most foolish statement you could ever make. That's right. That's right. When it comes to salvation. You don't have lots of time. You could be dead on the way home from this church service. You may be, listen, you could very well be in the last few moments of your life sitting here in this church with an opportunity to be saved. There takes some things along the road of life that bring us to God. I think one thing, you need to be arrested. I would have a show of hands how many people have been arrested by the police in this service, but it would probably be a little embarrassing. I got arrested one time. I had a 1966 fire engine red 442, four on the floor, red line tires, went 100, none of your business. And I got pulled over by the cops, and I wasn't doing anything wrong that particular time. Now, this is 1968, 69, back in those days. And I rolled down, and you kids don't know anything about this, I rolled down the window on my car. And the cop reached in and opened my car, pulled me out of the car, threw me over the hood, and put handcuffs on me. This particular time, I wasn't doing anything wrong. And I'm saying, what did I do? He said, well, you robbed McDonald's. In 1968 and 1969, a McDonald's hamburger was 15 cents. French fries were 15 cents. A Coke was 15 cents. You could get a full course meal for less than 50 cents. I said, I didn't. And about that time, another cop car came up, and they talked. He came back, and he said, well, it was some other kid with a red car. But I tell you, one of the most gracious things, I think, that God does for a sinner, that we are arrested and awakened to our need of Jesus Christ and salvation by the Holy Ghost of God. One of the greatest things that could ever happen to a lost sinner in this room is that you would get under conviction, that term, under conviction of your sin and your need of Christ. And awakened. The Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's not a sinner in the world that, if he'd be honest, would realize and recognize and admit that being a child of God is a whole lot better than being a son of Satan. I don't know what it's going to take to wake some of you up. What will it take to get your attention? I know of a little church near us that I had preached there long ago, and it had closed. The pastor died, and church closed, and another faith got the church and had it a while. I'm talking about the building, and then I heard that the building, a young man had got it. It was a Baptist church, and so I said to my wife, let's go there one Sunday. So we went there one Sunday, and I think we sat in maybe the second or third from the back of the church, but the building was wider. The building really is about as wide as this, and a little bit deeper than this. And they had a couple hundred people there. And I stood and sang the songs, and I noticed a man, tall, 6'3", 6'4" fella. And he had three or four young men in the row with him, all of them over 6 foot tall. And I saw a woman sitting next to that man, and I said to my wife, I said, that looks like Dave McGrath over there. She looked at him. She said, I believe that is Dave. Dave was one of the great blessings to me when I first moved to Cincinnati. Something negative happened in their life. They got out of church, got away from God. I'd see him every once in a while, maybe at a store or whatever. He's a great electrician, and I got his phone number, and he would come and do my electrical work for me, wouldn't take any money for it. I loved him, but he was way out. He got way out. Him and his wife got divorced. Separated, but he was back with this woman, and I mean, as soon as the service was over, I made a beeline for him, and he started to weep, and I was weeping, and I hugged his neck, and he hugged mine, and I said, Dave, you're back in church. He said, yeah, come out the parking lot, I won't tell you about it. So I shook a couple hands of other people I knew in that church, and went out in the parking lot, and he said, I got back in church. I said, what happened? He said, my 16-year-old grandson got in a motorcycle accident, paralyzed, can't hardly speak. He's in a hospital right now, a therapy type hospital, trying to get well. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't want to have a motorcycle accident with someone I love and care about, like a teenage grandchild, to get me back in the house of God. It'd be a horrible thing for a sinner to have to go through something like that. Why not come to Christ in the morning time of his conviction of your soul? There's only two places to go when you die. One's heaven, the other's hell. The Bible is very, very plain about that. You know, there's two guys in Luke chapter 16. You know the story as well as I do about the rich man and the beggar. You know, the very first thing after that rich man went to hell, he prayed. Very first thing, he prayed. You know, when you get born again, you'll pray. I suppose when you go to hell, you'll pray, but it's too late. And he prayed to Abraham. That's not going to do you any good to pray to. You could pray to every person named Abraham in America. You could pray to Abraham Lincoln. Not going to save you. You must put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think another element, there needs to become an abhorrence of your past. Some shame, some remorse. Something you look back down on the road of life and say, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have gone there. I wish I wouldn't have. And you have to deal with it. You have to come to Christ. The Bible says very plainly, and but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. God has given us this gracious ability through his blood shed on Calvary to become a son of God. Instead of an imp of Satan, trapped in hell for all eternity. He talked about that rich man and the beggar. Rich people, you know, all rich people don't go to hell. All poor people don't go to heaven. That has nothing to do with it. It's our relationship with Jesus Christ. There's things happen in a sinner's life. Sometimes they're humorous from a physical or mental or riotous standpoint. There's heartaches and situations and circumstances. I will give you a little piece of encouragement if you die and go to hell. There's one encouraging thing, in my opinion, about going to hell. One day you're going to get out. But you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment of God. And the sorrow of that and the you talk about the thunderous remorse. You get out of hell and stand before God. And you'll know where you've been. And then you'll see what you could have had. You'll see heaven. I'm not going to go to that part of it. I'm going to heaven, to heaven, heaven. I don't know where it is, and you don't either. But you'll see the majesty and you'll see him and see that blood that was shed, but it's too late. Too late. I don't know what the questions will be. It really won't even be a question. It's already determined. You'll stand there, and maybe this could be one of the statements. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that he shed on Calvary for you? Yeah. Oh, I ignored it. I thought going to church would do me okay. I thought being a good guy, doing the golden rule, I thought this, I thought that. No. You'll hear this. Depart from me, I never knew you. you'll see what you could have had, and you'll go back to a place, if there could be something worse than hell, that lake of fire, forever and forever and forever and forever and a thousand times a thousand forevers. Forever. I think a sinner needs to come to this agreement that sin is exceedingly sinful. Romans chapter 7 and verse 13. I think Christians ought to realize that sin is exceedingly sinful. It's not a game we win, but it's a truth that we know and a faith that we express and a grace that is received by His marvelous mercy. I like that little verse, but as many as received Him. The big thing to me is that He would receive us. Amen. That He'd take us. We've been brought. What brings us to God? I got to hurry, I know that. That He might bring us to God. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 through 14. We are brought to Him by His blood. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And the marvelous thing to me is when you get born again, the Holy Ghost indwells every believer. He comes inside. You say, can you explain how all of us? I can't explain it, but I'm a grateful recipient. And every saved person in this room has the same Spirit indwelling them. It's not doing better. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not church membership. None of that. It's the appropriation by faith in what Christ did on Calvary for us. He bore the sins of every man. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a whosoever will salvation. Whosoever will may come. My favorite verse in the New Testament is 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Him. He paid your debt. You say, preacher, you don't know how bad of a sinner I was. You have no idea how great the blood of Jesus Christ is. The blood of Christ that flowed from His body as He hung on the tree. From the crown of thorns, the blood that flowed down His face and onto His chest. And in His nail-scarred hands, blood shed and perhaps dripped on the ground in His feet. And then finally they put a spear in His side and out came blood and water. That blood somehow supernaturally was gathered together and perhaps some holy angel or a thousand holy angels came and brought that blood and laid it on the mercy seat in heaven for our forgiveness. For our salvation, for our redemption, that we might have this supernatural relationship with Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is so great that it can make a sinner, transform a sinner into a saint. The blood is all sufficient. It is completely satisfying, the complete satisfying oblation that obliterates sin for every sinner that will come and repent of the same. Amen. I read my Bible every day like most of you do that are saved. And I read, and you know, it's such a great book because you read it and say, I never saw that before. And I was reading in Zechariah, and I never saw this before. There's a little verse, Zechariah 9 and 11. The latter part, it says, by the blood of the covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. No water. A pit with no water. Where would that be? The very pits of hell. You remember that guy, he said about that rich man, he said, I'd like to have Lazarus come and just dip his finger in some water and just put a drop on my tongue. Impossible. It's impossible. Yes. Afterlife, one of two places. Heaven if you're saved, hell if you're lost. Amen. Those of us that are saved, we will awake in his likeness. Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. Yes. Holy and pure as thou art. Yes. Very difficult in this life, but one day we shall be like him for all eternity. Doesn't appear likely now, but when he shall appear, we'll be like him. I think it was, I don't think, it wasn't last November, but the number before November of 2023. And I probably mentioned this when I was preaching here because it's been so impressed upon my mind. But since it's just before Thanksgiving, matter of fact, the funeral was the day before Thanksgiving. In November of 2023, a dear friend of mine buried his wife. He called me this week. We talked. His wife's been in heaven for a couple of years. He talked to me about the dreams that he's had. He misses his wife so much. She was one of those wives that did everything and he did absolutely nothing. That's a good one, if you can get one like that. And that's the way you know him. Jim Brown, you know Jim. Since then, I've had 18 of my preacher friends bury their wives. I've preached two of the funerals of preachers' wives. Your loved ones are going to die. You're going to die. I mentioned that generational salvation. It swept down through that family. I think your daddy was an orphan or something from that orphan boy. Now they're serving God, the children are. I know your mom went to heaven too, didn't she, just a little bit ago, a year or so ago. It's appointed unto men once to die and then cometh the judgment. Yes. You could die on the way home from church. I'm not trying to scare you. I just want you to think seriously about your eternal destiny. Right. That's right. Where will you spend eternity? Our verse says, that he might bring us to God. Yes. Just think about it. I never thought about this. I've preached a sermon a couple times. But I never thought about this. Could you imagine when you get to heaven and God the Father's there and Jesus is there and loved ones by the score, you know, as you get off that old ship of Zion there at the dock, people you won to Jesus and save family members and how wonderful it is. But you know, there's a lot of songs, you know, the first thing I want to do is see Jesus. Could you imagine meeting him for the very first time? And he kind of stands off maybe and lets your loved ones and, you know, just such a wonderful time. And he says, come on. And he takes you by the hand or maybe puts his arm around you and he takes you and introduces you to his Father. I'm going to tell you something, friend. A child of God, we got a lot to look forward to. Yeah. Amen. Wonderful thing. Conversely, if you die without Jesus Christ, I wonder who you'll be interested. I wonder who you'll be, who will be the interest there. Who will you be introduced to? I think it's a lonely place too, even though there'll be millions there. I think it'll be a lonely place. Inhabited by demons and devils. And maybe you'll be introduced to Satan himself. And he'll laugh in your face. You sit in that church. You heard the gospel. You heard testimonies. You heard people rejoicing. You could have been saved. You could have walked the aisle. You could have trusted Christ in your seed. You could have gotten born again. He'll laugh like a maniac in your face. Father in heaven, I pray that you help us this morning to think seriously about our eternal destiny. May sinners in this room ask the question, where will I go when I die? May they ask the question, why don't I go today? Why not get it settled now? If I could answer that for you, sinner, I'd say come. The royal word of the Bible is come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I say, come to Christ. The Holy Ghost says, come to Jesus. Christ hanging on the cross is an invitation. The empty tomb is an invitation to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is anybody in this room this morning say, preacher, I'm not a Christian, I'm not saved, but I'd like to get saved and I'd like to do it today. Would you raise your hand high that I could see it? Anybody in this room, I'm not a Christian. Is anybody here today say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I've got a loved one, a friend, a neighbor that's here today with me that's not a Christian. I'm concerned about him. Would you raise your hand that I could see it? Just two or three hands.